You are listening to Aloud, a program of the Library Foundation of Los Angeles. Visit us at lfla.org.
Hello and welcome to Aloud, a program of the Library Foundation of Los Angeles. Thank you all for tuning in this evening. I'm Jessica Strand, the Director of Public Programming. The Library Foundation of Los Angeles is a nonprofit organization that provides vital support to the Los Angeles Public Library and presents programs and members. So thank you all the members that are attending this evening. And if you're not a member yet, please visit lfla.org/support to join now. On December 6th, we will bring together Andre Gregory and Wallace Shawn to talk about Andre Gregory's new book, This Is Not My Memoir. The program will be accompanied with a link to the great film, My Dinner with Andre. You won't want to miss this. Tonight, I'm really pleased that we have this wonderful conversation with Luis, Lea, and Shay Remba, the masterminds behind Mixografía, considered one of the world's great art printers. They have worked with an endless list of prominent artists from Louise Bourgeois to Rufino Tamayo. Their technical innovations have given radically new forms to printmaking. We will examine the rich background of one of the world's foremost printers, printing workshops. First, there'll be a video about the history and the various processes of Mixografía, featuring the artist Analia Saban, shot and edited by Angeles Bailey, followed by an interview between me and the family. Please bring up the video.
I am Luis Remba.
I'm Lea Remba.
I am the boss. No, really no. My son is the boss, but we found the Mixografía in Mexico a long time ago, like 51 years ago.
Luis's father had a commercial print shop, and we met Pablo Higgins, an American artist that was in Mexico, and he convinced us to open an art printing studio in Mexico. So we start inviting artists to come to the shop. Each time we had better artists, we worked with Leonora Carrington, Gunter Gerso, and it came a time that we approached Rufino Tamayo. And Tamayo, he said, I already did lithographs in Italy, in France, in many countries, I'm not interested. If you can develop a process, the bulto, he said in Spanish, with texture, with relief, I will be very happy to collaborate with you. One day we came with Tamayo with a wax plate, and we told Tamayo, do one of your man's here, haga uno de sus monotes aquí, because he used to do this, all these men. And Tamayo was very shocked because he said, I work with a screen, with stone, with this, but with wax. But he took the challenge. Luis went to the studio and they did all the what he needed to do. And when he came back with a proof in gray so he can see the texture that he created, he was very surprised, and he hugged Luis and he told him, you are an engineer and artist. And we start collaborating for close to 20 years with him. We expand to Los Angeles.
And all this is developed and continue to developing by Shaye, our son. He do his job.
My name is Analia Savan. I'm an artist and I work here in Los Angeles. My practice, I think it's hard to define, even for me, even though I've been doing it for 20 years. I guess it comes from a tradition of conceptual art, and it's basically, I think every project starts with the idea, and then I find the material that would attach to the idea. Mixografía, they basically invite artists. It's not that we can, you know, knock on their door and come in and work with them.
We like to work with artists that already have had a certain trajectory, and we need to like what they do, you know, because I think that way that's an easy path to establish a connection with the artist and their ideas, and feel, let's say, probably the excitement that they feel when they are producing an artwork, which, you know, because it's a collaboration, so, you know, you want to be cheering as well.
And I wanted to have an idea that would, you know, make sense for Mixografía. So I just went into my closet and I started cutting all the tags from my clothes, and then I put them in a little plastic bag and I said, okay, here's the new show, you know.
As Analia said, she brought a bag full of labels. And from that, we start working with her, developing the concept for the project.
I think what's interesting about collaborating with Mixografía is that you come in and you're part of a long legacy of artists who have worked here before. Artists like John Baldessari, Ed Rocher, Louis Bourgeois, Jacob Hashimoto. You know, in a way, it's like a healthy competition, or it's basically saying, okay, this is all that's been done. What can you contribute now? And I will always have to look at every project that came before me and think about, okay, what can I bring to the dialogue that's uniquely mine? And I think that's always very interesting, sometimes intimidating, but mostly a good challenge.
Printing processes, the artists are tied to a certain material. If they want to do a lithograph, they need a stone or a aluminum plate. If it's an engraving, a copper plate. If it's a silk screen, they need a screen. Or if it's a wood cut, they need to work on a piece of wood. Mixografía is a process that the artist can choose any material. They can work with soft materials, with hard materials, cloth, plaster, cement, sand, you name it, whatever. And then we can have like low relief, flat relief, and high relief in one plate. And this is integrated, and the printing plate is so sensitive that we have like the fingerprints from Henry Moore in a plaster, or from Tamayo working with plasticine, or you can see the threads of the Analia Savan or Hashimoto. It's very sensitive, and it reproduces 100% what the artist did.
This is the workshop. This is where we print. These are the two presses we have. That section over there is what we call the wet area, and that's where we make the handmade paper. Edgar Barradas, he's inking a plate. This is Jacob Hashimoto, layering all the colors on the surface of the plate. When the plate runs through the press with the paper on top of it and we exert pressure on it, the paper is going to pick up all these inks. Our paper is 100% cotton. The fibers, we mix them with water in order to create the pulp. This is the pulp that we use to make the paper. It's an archival pulp to produce a long-lasting paper.
It's much more than working with Mixografía itself. Then Mixografía has to go out and also find resources in order to make the production happen. So they had to go out and find an embroidery company and then find all the different fabrics that could look as if we were like looking at, you know, a small piece of fabric through a microscope, so like with very thick weaving.
You see the enlargement shows the a thick weave. Also, this was like cut, so it's not straight, it's round, and the edges are irregular. We used, as she said, embroidery to replicate the physical elements of each image. And you see, the weaving of this fabric is parallel to the weaving of this fabric.
And once we had that, they make a mold of that, so they cast it, and it's basically a mold. You can think of it as a cookie sheet, but you know, instead of like cookies, it will come out as a mold of the print. And in that mold, they pour the paper pulp, and then when they take it out, they have the print, which is like a three-dimensional representation of that fabric. And then it's done with like, I don't know how they do it, but it comes out, you know, with all the colors we need, and then there are a lot of finishing touches, and then that's how you get the Mixografía print, which is basically a three-dimensional print that has a lot of, you know, components that come from the making of the mold and also from hand painting.
This label has the folds, you know, a fold, and also the color is more like worn, used, you know, and lots of threads coming out, you know, as if it's a really old object. And if you see, you know, it's a print. This is the back of the print. This is paper, you know, the same as this one. So it's everything on the surface of the paper.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, good. I want to introduce everybody here. As you see, this is Luis, Leah, and Shay Aremba. They are behind Mixografía. And so I'm going to just move the interview and ask each of you individually questions and then one larger question. But since we have three, it's easier to sort of me to guide, right? So I'm going to start out just asking, asking Shay, just about, since this is about collaboration between printers and artists, and what the possibilities, you know, of the process open up for both the artist and the workshop. When Analia handed you that bag of, you know, of labels and said, this is my show, and you thought to yourself, what ran through your mind? Oh, how do we begin here? What did you think?
Oh my God. But before I answer, I want to thank and acknowledge the Library Foundation of Los Angeles, and especially you, Jessica Strand, Miranda King, Jorge Martinez, Kelsey McRae, and Angeles Bailey, which because of you, we are collaborating on this event. So talking about collaboration, you know, when we are used to, we've worked with many artists. So for us, it's always very interesting to see
how an artist is going to interpret our technique. And by that, it's not like an literal interpretation, it's more what are they going to do with it? You know, what concept are they going to use to produce a print on handmade paper? So this is the first thing. We are always curious. The mixografía, I would say, is rooted in the traditional printing techniques. You know, we come from a long tradition established, you know, 2,000 years ago of printmaking, and there have been technological innovations. So, you know, we, as in the video states, Luis, my father, invented this technique, and this is a new approach. So it's not, let's say, in the books yet, but the important thing is that opens a lot of opportunities for the artist in the sense of using materials, which is not traditional in printmaking. So for us, each project is a new surprise, a new challenge, and we are always building up on what we've done in the past. You know, sometimes it can be like something simpler, but sometimes we had to dig deeper and find more innovative solutions.
Sure.
Now, another aspect, we collaborate with the artists, but also within the workshop, we have a very strong spirit of collaboration between all the master printers, you know, because we always, the same as Analia gave me the little bags with the little bag with the labels, I went to the shop and talked to the master printers. Okay, so let's brainstorm. So this is part of the aspect. This is what we deal with this, let's say, on a almost daily basis. It involves a lot of problem solving because the artists are providing a concept and we have the technical resources to be able to take that concept and put that concept on the surface of a piece of handmade paper. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, absolutely, because it's each project is so different. And then it's taking the master printers, you go to them, you know, with the innovation. I mean, you were an engineer, your father, Luis. I mean, I just want to pivot to Luis to just talk about this. It was a new technique that made all this innovation possible with artists and these collaborations where you could do such unusual three-dimensional work. So I wanted to ask Luis, you know, which, when you were working on this technique, was it because you wanted to work with Tamayo, or were you already working on this iteration to change art printing?
The mixografía process was developed because the artist Rufino Tamayo challenged me to do so. In order to be accepted by the art community, the process needs to fulfill the characteristics and specifications for what is an original print. One of the specifications states that the artist needs to conceive and develop the project specifically for this purpose. It does not to be a copy of a painting or a sculpture. Considering Considering that, I decide to supply Tamayo for his first project with a wax plate in which he will be able to draw and make deep incisions or collages in order to create his original maquette. This was the first collaboration with him that lasted almost 20 years and produced more than 80 editions. Tamayo always challenged me, and I never tell him no, but I never tell him when.
What drew you to Tamayo's work? Was it that you knew he was innovative and he was interested in experimentation? What was it about his, or was it his work that drew you in? Was it attitude or work? What was it, or both?
To work with Tamayo was the greatest honor you can get at that time in Mexico.
Right, I bet, yeah.
He opened us the door to be recognized all over the world. One of the most memorable shows from Tamayo's mixographias was at the Albertina Museum in Vienna in 1983. It was attended by the Prime Minister during the opening reception.
Wow, that's pretty wonderful. Yeah. Can I ask you a question about mixografía? The name came from, can you tell me how the name came about?
Yes. When I sent Tamayo him the first wax, and he received the first proof, Tamayo recognized the importance of the process, and we came to the conclusion that we need to give it a name. The consideration was that it is a mixed media. In Spanish, the word técnica mixta translates to mixed media. Then we decide to use the term mixo, and the name will be mixtografía, because the word was difficult to pronounce. We take out the T and the name is mixografía. This is all the story.
So, okay, let's pivot from bringing mixografía. Let me just ask you, Leah, since I've not asked you a question yet. You know, what brought you to Los Angeles? Can you talk about what brought you?
Well, we had in the late 70s, early 80s, a gallery in Melrose, and we brought the mixografía to show. And the dean from UCLA, Robert Gray, he knew about the process. And he said, why don't you open a branch of the shop here in Los Angeles? So for us, it was a very exciting idea. And the program was quite unique, because UCLA will bring blue chip artists from all over the world to teach the graduate students like 2 half days a week, and the rest of the week they could come and work at the shop. So it was a fantastic combination about teaching and working, and the artists could decide if they want to spend a week or whatever time, even a whole quarter of the time. So for us, it was very exciting. And Luis, we didn't want to close the shop in Mexico. So Luis decided to build new machinery, and then we expanded to Los Angeles.
And, you know, how did you bring the long tradition of printmaking in Mexico, how did it influence the early days in Los Angeles? Do you want to answer that, Shay or Luis? Or?
Well, you know, Mexico has a very long printmaking tradition. You know, you have all the images that we've seen from Jose Guadalupe Posada, you know, for the Day of, they are very popular during Day of the Dead here in LA, you know, a few weeks ago. So Mexico had a very long tradition, and that translated into what became the Taller de Gráfica Popular that started in the 1930s, of course. Most of the artists were all leftists, but produced a very interesting body of work, which influenced a lot of artists, including American artists that went to work to Mexico. And, you know, then you had the Second World War, and still, you know, there was this wanting to do printmaking. So basically, what happened in the early days of Mixografía, which at that time wasn't called Mixografía, it was called Taller de Gráfica Mexicana, it had its root on those artists, that the Taller de Gráfica Popular, because of many reasons, it stopped being what it was, but there was still the interest of many artists to keep printmaking. And that's what really started, let's say, the little shop in Mexico that later became Mixografía. So, you know, there has been this route. And in LA also, it has later on Tamarind, you know, Gemini, you have, it became established a long tradition of printmaking. So for us, you know, we came with what our ideas, our culture, let's say, what we knew how to do, and we try to create a body of work here. And, you know, once we established ourselves, a lot of things changed. You know, the artists had different ideas because, you know, it's different, the art, especially at that time. Now things are much more global. But at that time, it was a big difference to work with, for us were the new American artists that we were meeting and what we used to do. So always, I think that's, for us was a great thing. And we, now we are more Angelenos than Mexico, you know, from Mexico City, you know, but of course.
I'm wondering what the influences are on each other, you know, what you feel, what those influences, you know, the Mexican influence and the Angeleno influence, since you felt both, what are they, and what are they on your work here? I mean, you've become, as you're saying, more Angeleno, more.
Well, I think that's a very interesting question, because I don't think we live at one level. You know, we all are like onions that you can peel, okay? So all these cultural influences can express themselves in different ways, you know, from food, what you like, the music that you listen, that, you know, those things might not be expressed on my work, but maybe in the way we may think, you know? But let's say if we talk about Mixografía, you know, I think the Mexican culture has very deep roots, you know, starting with the Mesoamerican, the Indian cultures that still permeate to this day on what happens on the street in Mexico. And just by being there, you breathe, you know.
Sure.
We see a lot of crafts. So that craft reflect in craftsmanship, in how you work, how you can approach building something.
Sure.
So these are things that, you know, reflect in how you could approach work.
Exactly.
So also culturally, if you had an experience experiences in different countries, you can read things in different ways. So I, in my personal experience, all this cultural experience enrich the way you can see an artist about seeing, let's say.
Yeah. Here's a question to all.
For whom?
All of you. It's a question to all of you because I'm wondering, you know, how do you decide what artists you want to pursue? Is it a group decision? Do you sit down and sort of say, God, this is somebody right now that I think we should consider? And I want to know if you all sort of, do you feel like you have the same aesthetic, or do you have, is it hard to sort of go, let's go this direction? How is it?
Well, I think we sit down, we always have a list of artists. Artists are very difficult to get because every museum, every art critic, every gallery, every publisher is after like the same artist. So it's very difficult to get them. So we always sit down, we have a list, and we see what they do, and we see if their work blends to the mixografía, depending on the color or the textures or the design, their creativity. And we at least we always agree, so that's good. We have
yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, we try to work in consensus, and you know, it's everybody. We try to be more or less on the same boat, you know, and the consideration of we try to think about possibilities, and sometimes we see because you know, mixografía, we can say that is very flexible in many regards, but there are many things that can't do as well. So we prefer to get into projects where we feel we can do something than the ones that we will be really struggling too much, or where we see that it would be very, or almost impossible, you know, because of the aesthetics of certain artists. But we love to be pushed to the limit.
I mean, I sort of look at you, what you do, and I think, wow. I mean, you're working with artists. It's like some of these artists, it's very difficult. I mean, what you're able to create is astounding. So anyway, it's true. It's true. I mean, you look at the work and it's really sensational. So here I'm going to get into some sort of anecdotes because I'm curious, you know, you've worked with a lot of amazing artists, and I was thinking that, Leia, you can maybe begin with some of anecdotes about a famous artist that you've worked with and what drew you to their work. And I know that you have an interesting story that you can tell us. I know there's one about Helen Frankenthaler that's sort of fun and interesting that I think the public would be amused by.
Well, Helen Frankenthaler came in 1986 because that December opened MoCA, and she was part of the artists that exhibit in the show Individuals. And at the same time also opens the Anderson Building at LACMA. And she was invited to do a show, so she wanted to come and see the space to plan her show. And then she had invitation to come to work to Mixografía, so she made a very nice package. And so when Helen came to work to the shop to do her markets, we were very surprised because she went to the shop. She didn't want nobody in the shop besides Shaye. Shaye stayed very far away as an assistant, just in case if she will need a tool or a material or to carry something that was very heavy. And we chose Helen because she loved prints, and we prepared for her different plates, cement. We thought if she will melt the wax on a wax plate, it will be the same way that she splashed the paint on the canvas when she had the canvas on the floor. So she has in the shop all these different materials. She worked very hard for a week. And one day while we were having lunch, she told me, "Lea, how come I suddenly so fast decide to come to work to Mixografía?" And I said, "What, Helen? I was only calling you for only 10 years to invite you." But she was a fantastic person, also as a person, and we had a very nice relation with her.
And what about, Shay, what about Analea? Tell us about how you...
Well, I met Analea through John Baldessari. John Baldessari was Analia's first as a teacher, and then as a mentor, and they developed a very close relationship. So many, many years ago, when Analea was working for John, Analea wanted to try experiment with textures. So John Baldessari told her, "Hey, why don't you go to check Mixografía?" So I welcomed her. She was super young, starting her career. So we talk, and you know, what the idea sound interesting, but for us, I really didn't know what to do. And then time went by, and then, yeah, let's call Analea. So after like the same 10 years, she came on, and then we start to develop the first project, which was a towel with a stain, more like a monoprint. And then, you know, more things develop. Other concept develop, like the bags that are behind my parents, and then the labels that we saw through the presentation. And we can't wait to see what's next, you know, because that's always the case. What's next? What's done? It's done. So,
oh, wow.
So that's where we are.
So, Lea, I know that you have some I have a question just about, like, you know, working with someone who's got eccentric, funny, different, unexpected habits that you that are just fun or surprising, but they're so different. And I know that you have a couple of stories Could you share them with
us? Yeah, sure, of course. The way that I was telling you before, we had our list and we were always chasing artists. So one time I was in New York, and because I knew that it takes me a lot of letters and a lot of phone calls, I was walking on Fifth Avenue. I saw a public phone in the middle of the street, and I said, well, I will call to Larry Rivers and I will leave my home, my phone, and then it will be he will start hearing from me. My big surprise was that Larry answered the phone, and I was there in the middle of the noise with the buses and the cars, and I'm talking to the artist and I'm trying to explain him the process, and he said, you know, I have a home in Puerto Vallarta. I will spend the month of June. We were still living in Mexico. And he said, call me and make an appointment. So we called, we prepared our portfolio with the samples to show him, to explain him. We arrived to the home and the assistant told us, go, he's on the beach. So we were there walking with our portfolio, with our prints on the sand on the beach to look for Larry, with the wind blowing and the prints almost blowing away. So this was an experience that we will never forget.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you have, was there also Buri who had
Well, with Buri, we visited Buri and we met with Minsa, the wife that was quite arthritic from her hands. And then, well, we did our business, we talk, we finish. When we finish, we always used to sit down for a cup of tea. They love to talk and drink the tea. When the tea was over, we were ready to go. And then Minsa asked me, Lea, do you know how to roast a chicken? And I thought, yes, I can give you a recipe. She said, you know, our very good friends, Alberto Grimaldi, the movie producers from the movies from Fellini, many important directors, is our friend, and I invite him for dinner. I bought a chicken, but I don't know how to cook. So then I went to the kitchen, I looked for the salt, the herbs, I prepared it, and when it was half cooked, we say goodbye, and that's it. So.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, you know, it's good you know how to roast a chicken, right? It came in handy that moment. Oh my God. So Shay, I wanna just pivot and sort of talk about the innovations now. Like, you know, we're as things, you know, your father pushed the boundaries of printmaking. And there was three-dimensional print, and then you came in and you pushed the boundaries even further and the possibilities of what you can do. And now, could you speak to a little bit about the changes you're making or hope to do in the future?
Well, I think the biggest changes from the, let's call it the production point of view, you know, happened early on. In my case, I developed all the paper making technology, and I also modify the presses, you know, to be more efficient and to be able to achieve better quality. There are, you know, I think nowadays, I think also in our lives, there is still a lot of room to go. So we've been doing the latest projects with, we have incorporated more prints, you know, produced by computer technology, and we've been able to incorporate that with what I would say is a more traditional way of printmaking done by hand. So lately that's what we've mixed those two things together. So, and that's, that relates to what I stated in the beginning, what the artists bring to the table, conceptually, what are their needs. So because of that, we've explored that, you know, the artists are also exploring these things. So they want to explore that with mixographia. So, and there are many other things that...
So as the project comes, you'll...
Yeah, basically that's what drives where we go.
Absolutely.
You know, so I, you know, is that's what drives a lot the experimentation, you know, each time. You know, we've developed other process for different things, and the idea is to always be able to have a better representation of the artist concept, you know, which is the print, like with Analia, the labels, you know. It looks very simple, it's fabric. But how do you fix that so we can make the printing plate? You know, it's a very simple question, but it took us a while to figure it out. And that's what also keeps interesting for us. You know, it's the challenge. So, okay, what's next? So that drives us into new realms, and something that might look simple now or small, maybe later on will be maybe the whole way of solving a print.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, it's constant innovation and constant pushing of the boundaries of what's possible and sort of figuring it out. I'm going to ask you a silly question, but it was fun when I sort of asked you guys when we were all talking. I'm going to throw out the name of five great artists, and then I'm going to just ask you a word that comes to mind about them. And whoever speaks first, go for it. So Ed Ruscha.
Humor.
Yeah.
What about John Baldessari?
Well, he's, I would say, in some respects, a contrarian.
Contrarian. What about Henry Moore?
Well, I Chichen Itza.
Yeah. Chuck Moore.
What about Alberto Bori?
Texture, yeah. Tactile.
And Helen Frankenthaler.
I would say very sensual.
Sensual, yeah.
Who are the artists that, I know there's many because we've discussed, but I mean, who, can you name like five artists that you really feel capture the essence of Los Angeles right now?
Well, I think there are a lot of artists, you know, living in LA influences you, but I think Alex Israel, with whom we collaborate, you know, his work is about LA. Ed Ruscha, of course, you know, landscape, what happens in LA. You have Mark Bradford, you know, that also all his materials come from the street.
The walls, yeah.
Pardon me?
Yeah, from the walls, from the street.
The walls from the street. Yeah, and you have, I think, photography. We may think Kati Opi, you know, has done portraits and also some landscapes. Yeah, so there are, you know, we can go on.
Yeah, on and on. You know, I'm gonna.
Henry Taylor, his portraits, you know. So I don't know. It's like.
There's so many. I know. It's one of you. I just wanted to get a sense of how you felt. And I know there are many. We could list them. Since this is a Library Foundation program, I'd really like to discuss the printing press and how it made it possible to sort of disseminate information, literature, art to the public. And even the libraries and print shops seem so different. I was thinking about they're deeply connected and both ultimately about discovering new ideas and accessibilities. What is your thought about that? Like just the similarities and how do you see it? And this is to all of you, whoever would like to answer or add to whatever, you know, Leah, Louise, Shay.
Well, if you want, I will take the lead. But, you know, the library is, the way I see it, is a repository of ideas. You know, is the ideas in the printed world. I think art, the museums are a repository of the, I will say visual arts, but can be more than that. You know, now it's a much wider and encompassing term. So, and the library, you know, the books are printed and we are involved in printmaking. So we are also, ultimately, we are printing an idea. And unlike the, let's say, painting or sculpture, printmaking has the possibility of producing the same idea in multiple, several times. So you have issues of accessibility, which also is the mission of the library, you know. It's not just a repository, you need to share. So printmaking, I think, for the visual arts allows that. So, you know, these are some of the connections, but everything goes back to printmaking, which was invented, 2,000 years ago, the same as the paper making by the Chinese. And everything is, it started maybe not the visual ideas, maybe religious ideas, but, you know, they wanted to we have been used, we've used printmaking as a way of to spread messages of different kinds. And with development now, it's much wider and visual ideas and world ideas, knowledge.
I think also that allowed the Los Angeles Public Library Foundation with their program to bring together poets and writers and artists to lecture and to talk in a more smaller way is educating a lot of people. It's in the gallery, you make an opening, you invite people to come and see the art, and you, with your programs, you invite the people to learn about culture, about art and everything. And I think this is a fantastic work that you are doing. It's a big contribution to Los Angeles.
Ah, well, that's fine. Thank you. That's so kind. I feel we are all adding to the cultural life of Los Angeles. Yeah. All so much. So I'm going to end this on this beautiful note of just and thank you and for this lovely conversation and to learn more about you. I also want to thank Angeles Bailey for shooting and editing this beautiful video that he made for Miss Calligrafía, and Analia Saban for participating, and for Milo Smolin for helping to coordinate and assist with this project, and to all of those members that are joining us this evening, or those for the first time, thank you. If you would like to see more programs like this one, or would you like to further support the Library Foundation of Los Angeles, please consider becoming a member at lfla.org/support. Thank you all. Thank you. I am so lucky and fortunate to have had this time with you all. And thank you all out there, and have a lovely evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your day.
Aloud is made possible by the Hearst Foundation, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, the Los Angeles County Department of Arts and Culture, Errant Fox, City National Bank, the Los Angeles Public Library, and additional generous supporters of the Library Foundation of Los Angeles. To support programs like this, become a member at lfla.org.